Welcome to Just a Taste. I'm Scott Curry with Chef's Best. We gather to talk about the trends in marketing, retail, and production in food and beverage that are shaping the industry. We've got an amazing story for you in this episode in Frank Lambert. We're going to learn a lot about the business of a successful startup. Frank and his wife Gina founded Crunchsters Sprouted Mung Bean Snacks as an alternative to potato chips for their children. In his past life, Frank was in the software business, most recently as CEO of information security company electronicrecords.com, and his deep software entrepreneurial experience dating back to Eyewitness in the year 2000. All the while, he's been tinkering in the kitchen, which leads us here today. Frank, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Scott. It's wonderful to be here.
Great. So like many entrepreneurs we speak to, kind of the nexus of your company was it seems like it was a desire to identify healthy, flavorful foods for, first and foremost, I think, for your family to enjoy. So if you could share with us what led you to Crunchsters as a food, and later on we'll get into the kind of the business journey you've been on, but how did this begin? In the kitchen, I suppose?
Sure, absolutely. The old adage, necessity is the mother of invention, applies equally to food. I'm an inventor. I have several patents issued. So I like to take things and put them together in new ways. We wanted to make a more digestible, less allergenic snack for our children because of issues we had around, the typical junk food snack that kids love to eat. And my wife, Gina, who you mentioned, is a certified yoga therapist. She brought in some Ayurvedic cuisine and herbology books that I devoured. I actually didn't eat the books. I just read them. And I put together a bunch of dishes based on this Indian dish called khichdi, which is mung beans and rice. So I fell in love with the mung beans, started sprouting them, playing with them, cooking them and everything. We had so many mung beans, I was putting them in everything, chili, pasta sauce. It was fun. And then I came upon a way of cooking them and sprouting them that recreated a junk food taste but in a superfood nutritional profile. And we decided on some very simple artisan seasonings. We found out that the mung bean is the most easily digested plant protein, and it's considered to be a detoxifying food in these Asian medicinal traditions. So we thought, hey, this is a great thing to bring out into the world as a product. We started giving it out to the kids at school. The mothers were coming to our house to buy them because their children wanted to eat them, and they were thrilled that they had full of protein and full of fiber. And I decided to apply my entrepreneurial skills and climb up the learning curve of the natural food industry, which is a very wonderful place to work in, bring this product to market. It's been a great ride. I feel like we're strapped to a rocket here with Crunchsters.
Awesome. So I'm curious to learn more about sprouted foods, and I'll share with you how naive I am on it. We enjoy it in our family. I recognize that it's healthy. I kind of like the taste and the texture, yet I'm very quickly in the last few minutes realizing I have practically no idea what I'm actually eating. So if you could explain, sprouted foods for everyone. And as you know, too, sharing why they're beneficial and what makes them, I suppose, different than traditional flours and starches. Help me understand that.
I would love to. I'd love to spout off about sprouting. Sprouting is the miracle of life applied to nutrition in many ways. A seed, a bean, a nut are storage cells of molecules called starch and other things that are ready to be converted into the nutrients that plant will need to grow. When you sprout something, you activate the chemical processes that convert the chemistry of a dried bean or dried seed into the wet proteins, fibers, and minerals that are going to feed that stem as it turns into a plant. When you sprout a mung bean, for example, you increase its protein content by 30%. I've read that in numerous places on the internet. You increase its fiber content and its mineral content, because as the enzymes that are activated by heat and moisture when you're sprouting, they transform chemically the contents of the bean. They store water. They're like a little canteen, a little bodega for the plant that's going to grow, so it has something to drink as it grows up. That's why they get puffy and big. And then as the stem starts to grow, they will feed the newly converted nutrients and water into that stem so it will grow. What we like to do is get it to the point where those nutrients are fully formed and then cook them up for our customers at that point. We kind of cheat the plant a little bit by using its nutrients for us. And one thing that's really important to understand is beans are in their raw form, dried form, are really inedible. They contain chemicals called phytates and lectins. That's why you have to cook beans to eat them, because the heat, the constant heat, will destroy those beans and infuse water into the flesh of the bean. Now, sprouting also consumes those protective chemicals in many beans, not in all of them. Some beans you should not eat sprouted, and I would refer to you to do some research before you start eating any sprouted bean. Some beans are naturally reduce the levels of their innate toxins through the sprouting process, because those chemicals are actually transformed into nutrients to feed the plant and no longer needed to protect the seed from being eaten by insects or animals. So just to make a bottom line to this, sprouting transforms dried starchy substances into proteins and fibers that are really good for the human body, and also increases the kind of sweet, moist taste of the plant, so that it's a much more appetizing thing to eat as well, if you've noticed. We believe in sprouting, and it's like having the plant do the work for you to create a higher yield of nutrients out of the same seed or bean.
I think you just single-handedly changed my shopping habits.
That's great. Well, I welcome any experiences and knowledge you gain. I'm sort of a sprouting nerd, and I would love to hear anything that you find out about it and incorporate it into what we do. And I'm happy to provide any more information you need.
Great. Well, thank you. That was sufficiently convincing that there's vast nutritional benefits there, and it sounds like digestive benefits as well. And so thank you. That was I know you took a complex topic there and made it pretty understandable and concise, even for me. Okay, so you have this background in software, and you dove headfirst into packaged foods. So what were kind of the transferable skills and experiences that benefited you? Because that it's a pretty big leap, I would imagine. That said, you're clearly backed by plenty of intelligence here. But what helped you as such a successful software or online, entrepreneur, have this recent new success in the natural foods, which is a pretty big departure.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, there's two, maybe three aspects to an answer to that question. And I'll deal with the most universal one first, which is, every business shares common characteristics, the way finances are reported, the way HR is handled when you bring employees on. So just having experience in jumping through the hoops of creating a commercial entity is pretty easily transferred to across different industries. That said, that has a good value, and if you've never done that, learning how to do that is can absorb a lot of resources in the beginning. So that was very helpful there. I will say, in the software industry, you don't have inventories, you don't have recalls. Well, you have updates, you have bug fixes, but you can't do a bug fix on something that's sitting on a supermarket shelf. So getting into the world of physical products is the big leap. The compliance issues are enormous. The liability issues are completely different, although there's certainly plenty of liability issues in software. There's the idea of keeping your customers healthy and alive is paramount, of course, in the food industry. Mm-hmm. So that's a big understanding of what is the compliance understanding and knowledge that I have to incorporate and maintain as I move forward. Branding, wow. What a huge difference. Branding in the software world is important, especially at the consumer level. But when you think about it, I mean, all Facebook did was get a blue rectangle with a white F in it, and they were done. But you look at anything on the shelf competing in those noisy aisles for the attention of, for 5 seconds, get you to pick it up and read their promises, it's bedlam on the supermarket aisles. And you have to create a brand that not only gets people's attention, but gives your message, your mission, your authenticity, what it is that you want people to trust about you. That's a completely new world from the information world. I actually grew up in the music industry and caught the very tail end of the CPG world in the music industry when music turned from CPG to information. Right now, music is an information business. And there's still, remnants of the CPG world, but before it was all, you bought something in a store and you took it home and you played it until it wore out. Now you download it and until it fills up your disk and then you erase it. So that world has changed from a packaged good, a consumer packaged good, to information. The food world can never do that because of our physical bodies and the needs to feed them. So understanding how CPG works from a physical inventory distribution and giving stuff away aspect is very, very important to understand as you make the transition. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is it is so easy to start a business now compared to 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, because you don't have to build the infrastructure for information technology, for doing research into what the laws are that you have to comply with, for getting legal documents on the fly. All this stuff is readily available to you because of technology. And technology is also taking over our marketing. At the consumer level, it's getting the word out into the social media channels. The broadcast media channels are watching social media very closely. So getting into traditional media through social media is a much easier task to do now. So knowing how to exploit the information world as a CPG producer is, I think, increasingly important from a marketing standpoint and from an administrative standpoint as well. There's no reason not to know what laws you have to comply with because they're all out there with a simple search. So not to name any specific brands or technologies, but setting up invoicing, setting up accounting, setting up all the different detailed administrative tasks is now very cheap and very easy. And understanding how to do that was directly transferable from software, I will say. So I don't know if that was a good explanation. I could talk forever about technology and information, but I'll stay in the world of food for our conversation.
No, lot of key messages there, and one I think is the inspiration that comes from knowing that the barriers to entry have been significantly lowered, and mm-hmm. I think we need to encourage folks to recognize and understand that. Obviously, clearly, politics aside, there's always a lot of discussions about how difficult it is for businesses these days, and I don't think that we, I think we can all understand and appreciate that there are challenges, but on the other hand, you have You know, I know you're avoiding brands, but you have, you know, Shopify to set up your website, Amazon to fulfill
Correct.
Your delivery, you have Intuit
Exactly.
for your accounting, you have LegalZoom for your legal, you have Google and Facebook so that you don't just have to go broadcast, and you can literally enter the advertising markets with $1 or a camera
Exactly.
Of your
Or a
own.
smartphone. Yeah, and I'll say one more important aspect of this new age that we're living in terms of food, is that the technology world, my experience in it, was such that we have now normalized disruption. And we expect things to change on a daily basis practically in our lives. The only disruptive thing you can do is turn off your smartphone anymore. So we now look to other fields, other industries for disruption, because technology has kind of gotten shopworn on its disruptive capabilities. It's nothing new there. So there's all these innovative food products coming out, drawing from ancient traditions, doing new kinds of supplements for that market. You know, whatever the innovation is that occurs, a new type of machine, we trust disruption now in a way that we haven't before. And that's allowing a lot of small, innovative food companies to bring out these kind of wild and crazy products that wouldn't have had a shot in the 90s, the 80s, or the 70s, because people are culturally amenable to having their lives changed because technology kicked that off. And I'm finding that that's important as we bring this very unique and innovative ingredient to the market in our delicious salty snack product.
And you worked with the group Excel Foods that
right.
is kind of an accelerator of sort, and mm-hmm. I gather that they specialize in foods such as yours that are, you know, disrupting, you know, traditional markets. So what was it like working with kind of an investment group or sort of an incubator such as Excel Foods? What was that experience like?
Well, first of all, fantastic. They're incredibly smart people who know the business really, really well, inside and out, very connected, understand what it is to be a startup and a young brand and how to approach the market. Their program was world-changing. I spoke about transiting into the CPG world with inventories and finance, et cetera. They bring you up to speed very quickly on that stuff, and they make sure that high levels of the food industry know about you. And just there's a sort of a Deming effect with Excel Foods. The fact that they believe in you makes you credible in many ways, I found that. And they're very discerning. They have a lot of choice out there as to who they can bring into their portfolio. So it's very flattering, and it's also very daunting in a way to be brought into the fold for them. Very high paced, they're New Yorkers to the core, and understand what it takes to get it ahead in the food world quickly. Building a brand in short order, wonderful instruction, and they're wonderful human beings on top of it. You know, a friends for life type of people, each and every person there. Sometimes I feel like I don't always meet their standards, but I work very hard within the midst of everything else that's going on to qualify to be counted among the ranks in their family. So it was extremely helpful.
Yeah, I'm sure they're proud to have you as well. And how did you get involved with them? Did you pitch them? Was it a network connection? How did you get?
They are they're like talent scouts. They go around the country and look for cool stuff. They found us at an event in Boulder, Colorado, where we're from. That was a sort of a competition for you know, young companies to buy for a free package of goodies. We did not win that competition. We were too early. Our packaging, our branding wasn't even developed at the time. But they instantly saw the value of Crunchsters in the marketplace and what a great thing it is to have something that tastes like junk food but feeds you like superfood. And they came to us and said, we're interested in working with you. And of course, I was thrilled, and we proceeded to go forward with them.
Awesome. And you mentioned Boulder, Colorado, and earlier you mentioned, you know, being involved in the natural food industry being so enjoyable. What role did being located in the natural kind of food hotbed of Boulder, Colorado, how did that benefit you, whether inspirationally or maybe something more direct?
Well, you know, Boulder's horrible. No one should come here. We're full. It's a horrible place to start a food company. I really advise people to stay in San Francisco or New York. I'm being facetious. We welcome anyone who wants. We're like a sanctuary city for food entrepreneurs. I guess you could say that. It's definitely the word is out on Boulder, and we love it. What you have here is a network of people that culturally align to the mission of natural food. It's not that there's so many people here, it's just that the density is so great. You can find organizations. I have to do a shout out to Naturally Boulder, a wonderful organization that has just done so much for the community here. We have New Hope here who runs Expo West, and they have wonderful publications for the retail natural food channels. These people, you run into them in bars, your children are on their basketball teams, everything is great. And we have this really incredible ability to meet people who are going to influence and help our business move forward. It's the Silicon Valley of natural food. And, you know, I'll defend that to anyone. When I was in the software world, you would go out to Silicon Valley and you'd share an Uber car with some engineer that would change your idea of how you could approach network packets or something like that. Here, you know, you get on a bus, you're sitting next to somebody who can tell you the name of a great co-packer in Louisiana who will get your margins up. It's just that similar experience.
Amazing. Very cool region. So let's talk about the product here. You've got sea salts, you have smoky balsamic, and then you have Beyond Bacon, which is vegan, which is kind of this interesting dichotomy. Tell me about, you know, kind of what product is proven to be so far most popular. Maybe which one's your favorite, if I can squeeze that out of you. How you might have stumbled across a couple of these unique flavors.
Well, let me say that when I first put together the basic product, I liked them just naked, you know, with nothing on them. So I have that basic in my mouth that I can work with. And mung beans, like a blank canvas, they're an amazing ingredient that take on the flavor that you give it. We started out with 8 flavors, and one of the things I learned in my quest to understand the CPG world was that you want to minimize the complexity of choice to the consumer in a young brand. You know, they go to a shelf, there's 8 flavors, they don't know which one to buy. It's sort of confusing, especially if they're esoteric. So we brought them down to the basic potato chip, big sellers, except for barbecue. And there's a reason behind that. One of the reasons you want to minimize your SKUs, as it were, is because you want to create what's called velocity in the supermarkets and as a distributor. And if there's 8 different products on the shelf and they're all selling a little bit, it doesn't look as commercially viable as products that are selling a lot of one particular thing. We concentrated our flavors down. Smoky balsamic is our answer to vinegar and salt, potato chips. Mm-hmm. And we think it's a step up. It's a much more gourmet, artisan, much simpler ingredients, not as sharp, but as acidic in your mouth when you have it. And it has that slightly sweet flavor that balsamic vinegar gets. And it's it's amazing the salt and vinegar fans who then try smoky balsamic and can't go back to potato chips. It's a phenomenal experience to see. Sea salt is sea salt. You need something that's plain. It's a salty snack. And I like sea salt because it lets the inherent qualities of the mung bean shine through. If you really want to understand the product, you get some just a sea salt snack from another type of ingredient and put it next to the crunchers, and you can really appreciate what the mung bean is bringing to the table there. So our third SKU, we had were great barbecue flavor. It was really equal to the potato chip world, and barbecue flavor is always in the top five flavors in barbecue in the potato chip world. And so we could come out and sort of mimic the top three flavors of the potato chip world, or we could come out with something a little different. And I've always noticed this bacon cult in America. There is a group of people who just flip out about bacon. They put it in chocolate, they put it in ice cream, they put it in anything. And I thought, gosh, you know, if nothing else, we're going to connect to that bacon cult and give them something that's plant protein based, you know, meat free, and give them a bacon experience that they can enjoy. And I can give something to vegans. Also, vegans have very little choices of what they can put on their salads or in their soups. We're calling crunchers the new crouton, because putting these into a salad adds protein to them. So if you're a vegetarian, you can't put a chicken breast on your Caesar salad, but you can sprinkle crunchers on it all day. And the bacon flavor works really well in split pea soups on top of, you know, Cobb salads where there's bacon anyway, and that sort of thing. So I left I chose the Beyond Bacon. First of all, it's kind of astounding that from four ingredients you can create the flavor of bacon authentically in your mouth, and that there was really not a lot of good vegan bacon alternatives in the market, and we think we've hit the nail on the head with that one. So that's the origin of those three. In terms of my favorite, you might as well ask me which is my favorite child, because it's hard to say. I think the one that isn't born yet. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right. So you have crunchstirs.com, where people can purchase, and where else can people find this great product?
Well, we're a very young company. We just got our branding in the end of last year, so we're getting good penetration in the Rocky Mountain region. Alfalfa's is a small set of stores here that we love, and they believed in us early. Lucky's, fantastic people and wonderful culture at that store. We've just started at Natural Grocers Vitamin Cottage, and wonderful people, great culture, very authentic. We're very happy to be working with them. We're going towards the other large accounts here in the Rocky Mountain. We're making good progress with them. So if you ask me in a month, I'll be able to add to that list. We are planning on working closely with an airport distributor so that we get into the airports. And we'll be on Amazon by the end of this month and hope to be starting to build an online presence there as well. 2017 is our year of retail penetration. And whether we move east or west depends on really who comes to the table first. Our preference is to go towards the West Coast and start with Pacific Northwest and Northern California next, sometime in the springtime. So the best thing to do is go to crunchsters.com and order some, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you have about the product, look for it online at the end of February.
Awesome. Well, we certainly welcome you, West, and hope that this is something that catches on, because reducing some of the, let's call it, poor inputs, to use your parlance, of some of the snack food that's out there. If we can get our adults, but especially our children, snacking on tasty food that's also healthy and beneficial for them, then all 50 states, I think, should welcome you.
Thank you.
I want to thank you very much for sharing your story. I learned a tremendous amount in addition to what, you know, finally the answer to what Sprouted is, but also you've clearly, you know, laid a guidebook, if you will, for anyone that's, you know, seeking to start their own company, as to some of the steps that they should focus and concentrate on. And we do wish you the best of luck, and please keep in touch, as it sounds like 2017 is going to be your year.
Well, thank you to Chef's Best. It's been a real pleasure, and I love your company. You guys do a fantastic job, and it's wonderful, and I'm thrilled to have been able to speak with you.
Great. Thank you again.
Thanks, Scott. Bye now.
Thank you for joining us on Just a Taste, the Chef's Best production. Join us again next time as we talk to more experts in marketing, retail, and production in the food and beverage industry. As always, visit chefsbest.com to learn more.